Chapter 8. The Wedding. 3 o'clock on the following afternoon found Harry, Ron, Fred, and George standing outside the great white marquee in the orchard, awaiting the arrival of the wedding guests. Harry had taken a large dose of polyjuice potion and was now the double of a red-headed muggle boy from the local village, Ottery St. Catchpole, from whom Fred had stolen hairs using a summoning charm. The plan was to introduce Harry as Cousin Barney and trust to the great number of Weasley relatives to camouflage him. All four of them were clutching seating plans so that they could help show people to the right seats. A host of white-robed waiters had arrived an hour earlier, along with a golden-jacketed band, and all of these wizards were currently sitting a short distance away under a tree. Harry could see a blue haze of pipe smoke issuing from the spot. Behind Harry, the entrance to the marquee revealed rows and rows of fragile golden chairs set on either side of a long purple carpet. The supporting poles were entwined with white and gold flowers. Fred and George had fastened an enormous bunch of golden balloons over the exact point where Bill and Fleur would shortly become husband and wife. Outside, butterflies and bees were hovering lazily over the grass and hedgerow. Harry was rather uncomfortable. The muggle boy whose appearance he was affecting was slightly fatter than him, and his dress robes felt hot and tight in the full glare of a summer's day. "When I get married," said Fred, tugging at the collar of his own robes, "I won't be bothering with any of this nonsense. You can all wear what you like, and I'll put a full body-bind curse on Mum until it's all over."
"She wasn't too bad this morning, considering," said George.
"Cried a bit about Percy not being here, but who wants him?"
"Oh, blimey, brace yourselves. Here they come. Look."
Brightly coloured figures were appearing, one by one, out of nowhere, at the distant boundary of the yard. Within minutes, a procession had formed, which began to snake its way up through the garden toward the marquee. Exotic flowers and bewitched birds fluttered on the witches' hats, while precious gems glittered from many of the wizards' cravats. A hum of excited chatter grew louder and louder, drowning the sound of the bees as the crowd approached the tent.
"Excellent! I think I see a few Velar cousins," said George, craning his neck for a better look. "They'll need help understanding our English customs. I'll look after them."
"Not so fast, Your Holiness," said Fred,
and darting past the gaggle of middle-aged witches heading the procession, he said,
"Here, permettez-moi to assistez-vous,"
to a pair of pretty French girls, who giggled and allowed him to escort them inside. George was left to deal with the middle-aged witches, and Ron took charge of Mr. Weasley's old ministry colleague Perkins, while a rather deaf old couple fell to Harry's lot.
"Witcher,"
said a familiar voice as he came out of the marquee again and found Tonks and Lupin at the front of the queue. She had turned blonde for the occasion.
"Arthur told us you were the one with the curly hair. Sorry about last night,"
she added in a whisper as Harry led them up the aisle.
"The ministry's been very anti-werewolf at the moment, and we thought our presence might not do you any favours."
"It's fine. I understand," said Harry, speaking more to Lupin than Tonks. Lupin gave him a swift smile, but as they turned away, Harry saw Lupin's face fall again into lines of misery. He did not understand it, but there was no time to dwell on the matter. Hagrid was causing a certain amount of disruption. Having misunderstood Fred's directions, he had sat himself, not upon the magically enlarged and reinforced seat set aside for him in the back row, but on 5 seats that now resembled a large pile of golden matchsticks. While Mr. Weasley repaired the damage and Hagrid shouted apologies to anybody who would listen, Harry hurried back to the entrance to find Ron face to face with a most eccentric-looking wizard, slightly cross-eyed, with shoulder-length white hair the texture of candy floss. He wore a cap whose tassel dangled in front of his nose and robes of an eye-watering shade of egg yolk yellow. An odd symbol, rather like a triangular eye, glistened from a golden chain around his neck.